It's my privilege today to reflect with you about the things of God, about the faith that we share, about our lives at this time, and I do so in the name of the risen Christ. Well, it's been a year now, hard to believe a year now, since the World Health Organization declared the coronavirus outbreak to be a global pandemic. And our lives changed. The world changed. It was March the 11th, I think, was the date when that was declared. And since then, very much, we've been living with various forms of isolation and constrictions in what has been a high-stress period of contemporary human history. So for such a time as this, this being our world, the world for which God so loves, I'd like to lead us in a Lenten reflection of visiting another time and an ancient story where a people struggled through a threatening calamity and had to survive. And not everyone made it, but they found in their shared experience meaning and hope in the God who met them in that strange and foreign landscape. And so perhaps by visiting that ancient backdrop, it perhaps can breathe some meaning and hope into our own experience today. So I'm just going to put a series of images before us and become a kind of voice in the background. This is not a photograph from the Mars lander. It's the desolation of the south central region of the Sinai wilderness, where you can detect a pathway that winds in the image from the valley floor. And this is part of the ancient pilgrim way from oasis to oasis that leads eventually to the foot of Mount Sinai. One of the great human narratives of Western civilization is the story of a people who found themselves in this wilderness, the people of Israel, and under the leadership of a figure named Moses, attuned to the leading of the one God, Yahweh. They had escaped the initial threat to their lives, crossing a sea of reeds, but within a short time, they were quite sure they were going to die anyway in that foreign and hostile landscape. This is Mount Sinai. The Bedouin of the Sinai call it Jebel Musa. Jebel means mountain, Musa, Moses, Moses Mountain. The moment in the account from the Hebrew scriptures, the Exodus, that I want to take us to, is the moment when they arrive at the foot of this mountain. It's a mountain that's already known by Moses. He had been there before, earlier, and it had become for him a place of deep significance, a place of divine rendezvous. And you know, we would know this ourselves as a people who live in mountains, how it is that a person can go on a hike, arrive at a place in the wilderness, sit down, look out, and that place can become quite significant, a place of meeting, a place of meeting with oneself, with one's own truth, a place that can fill with the presence of God. And those become places maybe that we return to by a river or near a tree or on a ledge, looking out over a view. And that's what this mountain had become for Moses. It had become a place of meeting with God. Beneath the towering umber faces of Mount Sinai lies a broad, empty valley called the Plain of Waiting. The Plain of Waiting. Bounded by peaks that rise sharply out of the South Sinai, the Plain of Waiting is where tradition says the people of Israel waited and waited in a howling desolation. You know, to be alive at this time of global pandemic has been for us to occupy a plane of waiting for a vaccine. We wait in hopes that a third wave of a new variant doesn't take over. We wait for the easing of restrictions. We wait to see family again. We wait. And as he left to climb the mountain, Moses had told them to wait. Weeks had passed. His absence stoked anxiety. I mean, they had come so far. They had left everything behind. They had fled and accepted the daunting reaches of the desert. In trust, they had followed the direction of their leader, moving into an unknown landscape, clinging to the hope of a land promised, of a new and safer future. Last April, when the virus claimed precious life after life spreading quickly around the globe, whole populations fled into isolation and accepted the diminishment of an uncertain and unknown landscape. New leaders emerged in the form of a chief medical officers and immunologists to guide this flight into an unknown wilderness. Their directions and those of our politicians were at first clear and resolute. Urban areas around the world willingly accepted the complete shutdown of commerce, of schools and social enterprise in a bid to survive this insidious contagion. This is a group of people trying to survive as best they can. The temperature is hot. It's the middle of the day. Well, it's later in the afternoon now. The shadows are starting to form. But you can tell by some of them, they're not even going to sit down. They're really kind of just standing, not sure what's coming next, maybe wanting to get on with it, get over it. The woman in the foreground sitting limply on not a very comfortable rock, you can see. But, you know, you make do. You sit where you can. A place to rest. They're making it work. And of course, in this new landscape of COVID, we have had to do that. We've had to make it work, and we've learned much. We've fashioned whole new ways of connecting and of working and surviving together in a strange and fearsome reality. It's interesting that when we read the experience of those long ago people in the Sinai wilderness, in the books of Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Joshua, they testify that when the people came out of the wilderness at the end, they carried a host of new realities fashioned in that wilderness. The record maintains that the desert had given them the tabernacle, the service of the Levites, a pattern of religious and political governance, the Sanhedrin, the Torah, etc. Now, scholars caution that some of those developments might have actually come later or may not have emerged as fully formed. But the principal message is that the scriptures that the wilderness, for all its hardships, its wanderings, its waiting, became a birthing room of the divine new. Rather than a stagnant period in Israel's history, it became a landscape of revelation, discovery, and transformation. And we already know how this wilderness has changed us significantly. I mean, even in the microcosm of our parishes here, we've all learned to Zoom. You know, I think of the decades of going to the church in the evenings for meetings and driving to the church and others not always finding that easy to do on cold nights. Well, maybe some of those meetings in the future might have happened differently now. And dioceses may continue to create worship online. I don't think any of these new skills that we've developed are just going to be discarded when the pandemic is over. We also know the pandemic has led us into new ways of how we connect with family and friends, how we work, as people reconsider the work-life balance and a work-from-home option, or forming work clusters in rural areas or suburban areas, reducing all that time that was spent commuting, reducing greenhouse gases in urban centers. There's enormous changes underway. And we will arise from this wilderness with new realities in place fashioned by this time. Let me give you another image. The plain of waiting is a harsh landscape of broken rock and sharp grains of granite. There's no sand on which to set your bedroll as you sleep in the open beneath the stars. The wind blows down the mountain passes and whistles through the camp at night. You shiver even in the summer. High above, against a sparkling galaxy, the dark silhouette of Mount Sinai carves an ominous blackness, wrapped in a pervasive silence. The Hebrew word for the silence of the desert is dama. The Semitic root of this word is but one letter different from dam, which means blood. In other words, the correlation suggests that what you hear in the silence of the desert is the sound of your own blood. It's so quiet that what you hear is yourself. The wilderness times of life can bring us nearer to the essence of our being. In the silence, the soul is permitted to inhale and turn inwards. Last year in mid-March, the pandemic drove us into our homes and drove us inside. For many, this isolation has brought a void of distressing loneliness. For some, it has also introduced an unfamiliar intimacy, parents teaching their children, families doing crafts and puzzles. There's been a surge of outdoor activities. And it's also brought time for reflection and perhaps for new conversations to arise. One of the ways the Bedouin manage the scale of the wilderness is to periodically stop, settle in the shade of a large rock, light a small fire, even in the middle of the heat of the day, and sip strong tea. Here, they are making bread. You know, there's that place in the Psalms where the question is asked, can God spread a table in the wilderness? And the answer is yes. They sit talking, telling stories, connecting. Two-thirds of the way up the length of the plain of waiting is an oasis. It's the only way the people of Israel could have survived there. This is an image with an oasis in the distance, in the center. Difficult to distinguish in this photograph, but at a different time of day, different light, it becomes clearer, this oasis of Ein Hudra. In the desolation of the wilderness, an oasis appears as a flash of green seen from the distance. The tips of the tall palm trees signal salvation. The heart leaps, and the weary pilgrim arrives under the gentle palms to find living water, welcome, solace from the heat of the day, and shade from the blistering sun. In the Bedouin code, in the code of the desert, an oasis is a gift of God. Yes, it's possible to dig a well and find water, and if you're fortunate enough to find water, then you can claim that well, you can build houses around it, you can fight for it, shed blood over it. But as the Bedouin say, the oasis cannot be claimed and cannot be built upon. It exists for all life, a gift of God. Here's another image from within an oasis with Mount Sinai rising up in the distant mountains there, Ein Pharah. And you look at this scene and you imagine the wilderness just beyond it, the heat, the barren landscape, but the contrast created by this abundance of life, of palms and fruit-bearing trees, the sound of birds and creatures. You know, the question that we might ask in the experience of the pandemic this year, where have you found oasis? What has been oasis for you? Or who has been your oasis? You know, it can be the unexpected phone call that's received, an act of kindness, unexpected, where shade has been provided from the heat of this time. When the wilderness comes in life, it's never a destination. It's always a way of passing through to a new time. We pass through it by stages. It's a harsh reality to be survived. It's a way of wandering and waiting. At times, a place of anxiety and longing. And yet the desert can also be a place where we are shaped by God for the future that we're being called and prepared to enter. And sometimes on the back of a camel rocking side to side, surrounded by silence, other thoughts can arise. We might wonder, what has this time of pandemic revealed? What has it revealed about yourself, about your choices? Are there things that you might want to change now, that you won't go back to because of this time? These are Lenten questions. We might ask, you know, during this time, where have I encountered the presence of God, the presence of Christ breaking in? Where have I found resilience? I mean, the fact is, we are not alone. And nor were they. God's care being revealed, sometimes gently, not always evident. And the time will come when we emerge from this pandemic, and when we do, we will feel deeply for those who perished in this desert. But what I've learned about the wilderness are a kind of four rules of the desert that I always share with my groups in preparation. And I believe them to be true also for the church of our time. And they are: never go alone. I mean, we need each other, even if by reaching out by phone, we never go alone. Take only what you can carry. We can't take it all into the future. And you have to decide what's most important. And some of us have been doing some of that sifting. Anticipate anxiety. Well, we've certainly got that one. And wait upon the Lord. Quoting from the Hebrew scriptures, the prophet Isaiah, if you have to wait, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon this source of spiritual strength and meaning larger than yourself. And you will find peace. And I think we'll leave it there. May you be blessed on your Lenten journey. Thanks be to God.